The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory.
Oh,
good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't know what it is that you do at 11 o'clock. Whatever it is you do, though I'm happy that you do that do and that you're doing that do with me. Today is the first day of summer. And can I tell you, I don't know who the sun out there working for today, but it is working. My goodness, wherever you go today, please be sure to stay hydrated because I am telling you that is... that is an ambulance ride waiting to happen outside there today. It is unbearably hot out there. I don't really know what's happening. Anyway, there are a whole lot of things that are going around. Before I get started, I only just heard on the way over that the Prime Minister has extended the curfew from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. for those of you that care at this point. I think many people have since stopped caring. Largely because none of it makes any more sense, and the Prime Minister and his band of men will soon find out who exactly is in charge of this country and what it means to be subjected to the will of the people. Anyway, there was one song that came to my mind, and I'm just going to get this out of the way really quickly, because I want the Prime Minister to know what I think about him, his friends, and his new 11 o'clock curfew. Kermit, cue my music, please. Mr. Prime Minister, here's a message on behalf of the Amy people.
I am a clown. I am a clown. See me smile whenever you're around. Sometimes my scenes are good, you know, sometimes they're bad. Not funny, huh? Funny, sad. Say, look at this clown, always a laughing face whenever you're around. Always the same routine, you know I've never changed.
Always the same.
Not funny, oh.
Sometimes I think this world is a circus town. Sometimes I feel I belong in a sideshow. That man on the flames at peace, he ain't never coming down.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for staying with me. And so whether it's an 11 o'clock curfew or 12 o'clock curfew, I don't care if it's flying frisbee at this point. I don't care about your vaccination day. What I do know is that my friends, the ones that wear the uniform, many of them are still not vaccinated. I listened to the Minister of National Security trip all over the ground trying to explain the nonsense about having a plan when he knows full well that they do not have a plan. He knows full well that there is no plan and that the entire vaccination program in at least one of the organizations has completely failed. He knows that in another organization, the people in charge of the medical area have not been vaccinated. So, yeah, there is really no plan. Unless the commissioner of police and the commander of defense force are going to go whole hand together. They have swords. They both have swords. They get swords when they get their commissions. Maybe they will stand on the street corners with their swords and keep us all inside. Because it's nonsense at this point. The whole thing is nonsense. You all have botched the entire thing, and we no longer care. All right? There you have it. Anyway, that's not what I'm talking about this morning. I just needed to get that out of my chest. Thank you so much. If you want to, you could kind of go look up the song. The name of the song is I Am a Clown. And that's the name of the song. I didn't pick the name. That's actually the name of the song. And the author of the song is, what is his name again? Yes, David Cassidy. So you could go and Google it if you want to. And that way, anytime you hear the Prime Minister run on with drivel and nonsense, you could just play it. That we aren't dealing with a real person anymore. This man has taken power and has obviously lost his mind. Anyway, Toby Smith is with me this morning. I don't need to tell you who he is because I think he's very popular. You know him as the guy at the Lighthouse Beach Club on Paradise Island who, let me give you the backstory, had a lease deal with the government of the Bahamas, a lease deal that was agreed by the Minister of Tourism, Dionisio de Aguila, the Honorable Member of Parliament for Freetown, who has said that, yes, some things went wrong and that, yes, they granted RCL a deal after Toby Smith had a lease grant. Toby Smith has been somebody that's been in and around the Bahamas as a Bahamian doing wonderful things. I understand that he's responsible for the refurbishing of several of the monuments that you see around this place, although I take slight issue with the fact that most of our monuments are inanimate. Outside of that, though, he's been a contributing citizen and has restored the lighthouse at Paradise Island and wants to kind of have the beach for the Paradise Island Beach Club, Lighthouse Beach Club. And the government has, they have what you call it, but they have in a way that is in a Dick Dastardly fashion, taken this man's opportunity, right, ability, desire, well, not his desire because he's here fighting tooth and nail because of his desire to give back and contribute to the Bahamian society. And so I kind of just want to make sure that the people that follow this program get an opportunity to hear his story in the event you haven't heard it anywhere else. Toby Smith is my guest. Good morning, Toby. How are you?
Hello. Good morning, Levon. I'm doing great. Thank you on this lovely Monday. And good morning to your listeners in the Bahamas and across the globe.
Do you think I got the story pretty much down pat?
Yeah, there's a couple of... So, first point was Dionisio de Aguila was actually on a on another news program,
right,
and he, quote, said, Toby has a valid lease.
Yes.
Which is wonderful news for me, coming from the government, as a government representative, confirming that I have a valid lease.
Right.
So, it's rather duplicitous of the clown, as you mentioned, right, the Prime Minister Minnis, in coming out and saying... he hasn't actually, I don't think, said it publicly,
mm-hmm,
but they offered me a lease. I accepted their lease. And a deal for a lease is as good as a lease. But they, you know, in them giving me a lease, it just confirmed it. So I'm not able to start the restoration of the Paradise Island Lighthouse. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been restored in many decades. It looks like a dump as all these millions of tourists come into the Bahamas. It's a very bad first impression that we have as a country without representing us. And we have a government before us which gave me approval in the form of a Bahamas Investment Authority approval. They signed a net memorandum of understanding with me. They offered me a crown land lease for the area around the light, also an area on the beach, on Colonial Beach. And then Carl Bethel came along as one of Minister's merry men, saying that all of those agreements aren't worth basically the paper that they're written on. So I sued the government. I've taken them to court. So it ain't over. I have them in court. I'm fighting, as you say, tooth and nail. That is absolutely correct. And RCL are trying to do their best to stampede over my land boundaries.
Now, they continue to talk about the economic the economic impact that RCL will bring in their investment. Do you think that the Lighthouse Beach Club, the concept that Toby Smith has is one that can rival what RCL is considering they're able to do over there?
Well, I think that going into a land that's currently zoned as residential, mm-hmm. the first battle that they have is to get that land that's zoned as residential to then commercial. Mm-hmm. Now, if they were stupid enough to go out and buy a bunch of private residential property, thinking that Bahamians wouldn't perhaps resist in them doing that, they don't even have the zoning for it yet. Mm-hmm. If RCL and Minas think that they could just give me, or the government has already given me a lease for the Crown land, to then turn around and be duplicious, double dealing, back dealing, whatever words you want to use, and then telling RCL that they can have this Bahamian crown land that's never been used by Bahamians before, then clearly Minister's priorities are wrong. Can I compete with them? Yeah, I can absolutely compete with them, mm-hmm. right? I don't think that Bahamians want to see the whole of the west end of Paradise Island destroyed of its natural beauty for them to put in concrete and pools and have their guests sucked out away from where Bahamians could participate in the revenue generation, that RCL want to hog it up for themselves. So what we've seen in the past is that RCL, in operating Coco Key, they've taken away the identity of the island. It's actually called Little Stirrup Key, mm-hmm. and they've branded it as Coco Key for their own agenda. Encourage the tourists to get off of the ship in Coco Key, but discourage them from getting off the ship in Nassau. And the revenues that are made by RCL in taxing the Bahamian vendors and taxing the Bahamian shore excursion providers, they walk out of the country with all that money and put it to their foreign investors and their foreign shareholders.
Just last week, though, the Prime Minister says that he's grateful for the relationship that we have had with RCL. I mean, do you think it is one where the Prime Minister and his government understands that, sure, Toby is a businessman, a Bahamian, we understand that. But, you know, they say it's always easier, I guess, to make peace in your own home. So if we offend Toby, we offend him, we'll come back and smooth it over with him at a later date. Let us continue to deal with our international relationships. Let us protect that so that we, on an international level, do not appear to be the kind of government that isn't open to doing business with partners that we've had, I think the Prime Minister said, for 50 years. What do you say to people that offer you that argument? That this is the government of the Bahamas trying to save face on an international platform.
Yeah, let him try save face. But he's grabbing at straws, and desperate times call for desperate measures. So while RCL say that they've been coming to the Bahamas for 50 years, and they say that the Bahamas is their number one destination, what they're not telling Bahamians is that it's Coco Key is their number one destination. Mm. So it's Coco Key that's generating a lot of revenues for them to ship out of the country, whereas my project will be keeping that money in the Bahamas. So foreign direct investment is tourists coming to the Bahamas through whatever means, through cruise ships or through air arrivals, staying in hotels, and what Bahamians want is that money staying in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. So that circulates through our banks. It gets to pay school fees. It gets to provide good jobs. RCL are putting in for work permits. That doesn't favor Bahamians. So my project is all about staff over there. There'll be opportunities for not only direct employment, but indirect employment. And we're going to create hundreds of jobs through that will only be for Bahamians. And that money will stay in the Bahamas and circulate our economy many times through the food stores, through every aspect of utilities and goods and services that Bahamians purchase. Our funds that are generated through revenues are going to be staying in the Bahamas.
Okay, so how did you come up with this Lighthouse Beach Club concept? Well, where did it all originate?
It originated from me restoring Steve Burrows, some of his sculptures that he mm-hmm. did out of respect for Steve Burrows and out of giving back to the Bahamas. And it came about of me sitting up in the lighthouse thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful if this was restored also? Mm-hmm. So I said, all right, I learned from the sculptures expedition that I did that if I don't do it, maybe no one will do it. Mm-hmm. So I jumped up and rolled up my sleeves, and my daughter and I, we did it. So sitting up in the lighthouse, I had the same concept of who's going to do it. If no one's going to do it, then maybe it should be me. And I'm looking to restore the Paradise Island Lighthouse fully, as well as the keeper's quarters, and put in the dock, which is going to be approximately $1 million. And it's not going to cost the Bahamian people a penny. It's not costing the government a penny. It's still going to be crown land. It'll still be owned by Bahamians. And it's just a lease that the government has offered and I accepted. So the beach club concept is going to be helping me to fund and generating revenues that's going to be put towards the restoration and ongoing maintenance and operation of the lighthouse, provide jobs. And yeah, it's going to be a revenue maker where hopefully as Bahamians are welcomed over there and not segregated like what Royal Caribbean are differentiating between Bahamians being able to be over there. RCL want to tell us when Bahamians can enjoy this Bahamian Crown Land Beach. Mm-hmm. They want to tell us when we can't, and they want to decide the price. Essentially dictating to us not only cultural segregation, where Bahamians can't participate and sit down and have a beer at the same time as their royal guests mm-hmm. are in town, but my policy is that it's open to everybody, Bahamians and tourists alike, and I'm counting on my core clients to be Bahamian.
What about when you got the lease, right? Because, yeah. I mean, leases are things that have a start date, they have a stop date. Some yeah. of them are continuous. Some yeah. of them don't have an absolute stop date.
Yeah.
There are terms. Is there anything in the lease that may suggest or could have suggested to you that should something greater than your proposal come up, the government could feel the need to rescind this lease?
Absolutely not. There's nothing in there. There's nothing in there like that whatsoever. It's a 21-year lease with an automatic rollover, and that's what we agreed to, and that's what was signed off on. That's what was offered to me, and the government want to say that
21 years.
21-year with mm-hmm. with a rollover, okay. right? So, again, it's Crown land. It remains as the Bahamian people's land. Mm-hmm. Now, when you see a prime minister posting up with all these foreign investors, they want to come into his office and have a meeting. All that red carpet is rolled out for them. Mm-hmm. They get that whole royal treatment. But when a Bahamian asks, hey, can I have a meeting? They just get this big Bahamian run around in red tape. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that this government is moving in a direction of trying to empower Bahamians, create employment opportunities for Bahamians. I think that they're solely interested in foreigners in these massive, anchor projects, as opposed to allowing Bahamian farmers to be able to have access to Crown land in order that bone fishermen can have Crown land for a fishing lodge or something like this, which is they're forcing us to depend on this foreign direct investment rather than giving us an equal opportunity where Bahamians can thrive. So I wrote a letter to the Prime Minister just last week requesting a meeting again, and I put it out there for public consumption to the editors of the newspaper. And I've absolutely heard nothing back from the Prime Minister. But every opportunity he gets to post up for a photograph opportunity, he's posting up. But what's surprising is that RCL are telling me that they've now got a signed Crown land lease. And you don't see the Prime Minister posting up, announcing nothing for that, right?
Signed by whom?
Signed, I understand from somebody in Minister's team that it was signed by the Prime Minister, witnessed by somebody that's denying it to me, and was all concocted up at the office of the Prime Minister, and they've been told, RCL have been told, to keep it quiet until after election.
Mm. When exactly do you propose you will be before the face of the court? Have you gotten a court date?
Yeah, man, I go on Wednesday.
Wednesday as in day after tomorrow?
Day after tomorrow.
Okay, and this is going to be which part of the case? How far along are you? Are you going?
At the very beginning, it's the case management hearing.
Okay.
So it's a virtual meeting, which is a formality. I have the deepest respect for the judiciary in the Bahamas. I have every faith that I'm going to receive a fair and balanced opportunity to present the facts. And I've got an expert legal team that's headed by Wayne Monroe, QC, mm-hmm. who is, he's got a very good scorecard, mm-hmm. Weighing in as a heavy butt over in the red corner, Carl, I can't win a case, Bethel, mm-hmm. who's weighing in at maybe 160.
Yeah.
You know, maybe struggling to get his gloves on.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
I call him Carl. Well, sure, I lost the case.
Well, sure, yeah. So, you know, I can't instruct the justice as to how to do their job. As I say, I got every faith in them. But when you look at the track records of Wayne Monroe against the government versus Carl Bethel against, I mean, anybody, I think that Wayne's got a very strong chance, and Wayne has extended to me that he thinks that we've got a very strong chance also.
Mm.
So the government, you know, why is the government negotiating Crown land with Royal Caribbean if there's already litigation and they've offered me a Crown land lease that I've accepted?
I imagine that there are people like me that support your fight, right? I've not ever said it. Let me say it publicly now. I've been watching it as it has matured in
the
public
domain. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. That means a lot. I appreciate it.
And it is because, you know, if I don't fight for Toby when they come for Toby, there would be no one there to fight for me when they come
man.
For me.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And I understand, though, that people like yourself and myself may have differences of mind and differences of opinion from other people.
Sure.
What do you say to the Bahamian out there that is saying that, man, for Toby, this is nothing more than a land grab or a money scheme?
So it's a business, and in business, the intention is to make money. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do intend to make money. And my track record is the money that I make, I give back to the community. Mm-hmm. You don't see me posting up, taking photographs every time I give something back to the community. Mm-hmm. But I have given back extensively. In Hurricane, I was one of the first people on the ground in Marsh Harbor, Abaco, helping mm-hmm. out, and in the aircraft hangars in Nassau and whatnot. You know, the naysayers that are out there are usually political pundits that, you know, support a just diehard FNM or diehard Minnis. And I wish them well. If they're not happy in their life and want to pour scorn and criticize others that are trying to bring jobs for Bahamians and bring about the right jobs for Bahamians where they're empowered and not just forced to do menial tasks, then so be it. I've got lots and lots of supporters, and I've got people calling me from the FNM supporting me. I've got people inside Minnis' circle that are calling me and say, we're pro-Bahamian and you keep up the good fight. And I know it might take a while. It's been 9 years. So, you know, 4 odd years that Minnis has his foot on our necks so far that, you know, given the fact that I'm in my 10th year of trying, I could have imagined if I'm, you know, my numbers are telling me I should be able to make $100 million a year based on previous tourism arrivals back to 2019 was 7.3 million arrivals. So if I can make $100 million a year in gross revenues, in 10 years, that's $1 billion. So Minnis has basically stepped in the way of us being able to generate revenues and put that back into the community, support households. And, you know, your everyday worker that my guys, you know, we give thanks to God in the mornings. You know, we give thanks that everybody arrived to work safely. And it's a good community effort that we have that extends out to the greater community, like Ranfurly Home or this place or that place, that we help out.
Mm.
So, you know, the haters out there, then I ain't got no time for haters. I'm not going to acknowledge them.
You got to it a little earlier than I wanted you to, because I was going to ask, what about the other grouping of people that are going to say, this is all just an anti-Minnis campaign. Toby is now bitten the bait. He's now pro Philip Davis. I actually have heard you said that, you know, you know for sure if the VLP were to win the next general election that Mr. Davis would give you back your crown land, because he said so, and he said that you could quote him on it.
Yes.
And so the question I then have is, what do you say to the people that says, this is just Toby Smith deciding to be a PLP minion, deciding that he is
going to... Oh, no, absolutely not. Oh, no. Hold on, let's back up.
So, I'm asking.
Yeah, yeah, no, of course. So let me be abundantly clear, right? I am not in a political camp whatsoever. What my political... what I do in the voting booth is between me and God, correct. Right? And I have spoken to Brave Davis, and he has pledged his support subsequent to him saying that he would cancel any agreement that's in place that the government agrees to with RCL.
Mm-hmm.
That's abundantly clear, right? I spoke to him a week ago on Monday, and he reiterated and said that you could publicly quote that I stand and I support your project, and I will cancel any deal done with Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines for any Crown land over there on Paradise Island. That doesn't define what my political, you know, voting persuasion is. That's up to me. I'm not in the PLP camp. I'm not in any political camp as I promote Paradise Island Lighthouse and Beach Club. Mm. That's between me and God. And I think it's a personal, you know, a very personal thing. Right? Now, the actions of a person, right, or the actions of a clown, mm-hmm. they are accountable for their actions. Mm-hmm. So if I disagree with Minnis, that doesn't mean that I disagree with the whole FNM,
right.
Because there are some FNM's politicians that have told me, that have said publicly, such as Dionisio Diagla has said, Toby has a valid Crown Land lease on public television, mm-hmm. That, okay, yeah, well, thank you very much. There's a difference, there's right and wrong, and I support right. Diagla's going to come out and say that it should be that, you know, that I have a valid Crown Land lease and empower Bahamians. And another politician comes out and says, you know, to me in an email, copy Minnis to say, you're going to look very embarrassed talking about empowering Crown Land for Bahamians if you're not, you know, if you're not going to hurry up and give this man a lease. Mm. So, no, I'm not a minion to anybody. I got my own project that I'm trying to bring to fruition. And it seems as though Minnis, as the Minister of Crown Land and Lands, he decided to offer me a lease. I accepted the lease, and an offer for a lease is as good as a lease, and he doubled down by actually giving me the lease. And, you know, all the memos went through internal government to say, you know, draft the lease. The government agencies that were involved in drafting the lease include the Attorney General's Office, the Bahamas Investment Authority, the Department of Lands and Surveys, et cetera, et cetera. And now the Attorney General's office is saying that the government didn't draft the lease, that I drafted the lease, that I proposed it to the government, and the government decided not to accept it, which is complete hogwash. So it's not that the government, I mean, if the government wants to double deal the same land, the fact of the matter is that this land is still before the courts. Mm-hmm. It's in litigation. Mm-hmm. I can't speak for the judge, but I can't imagine, I don't know what the judge is going to do when he sees that the government and Royal Caribbean are in cahoots with each other, negotiating and apparently receiving a Crown Land lease.
Well, I don't know if it is fair to say that they are in cahoots. Maybe the office of the Attorney General is outside of its ability. Maybe, because you never want to imply that there is some sort of, you know, cooperation between two parties, particularly when one is and that is against a citizen. I'm certain that that couldn't be what it is.
Well, if RCL are coming out and saying that they received a signed Crown Land lease that's been signed by the Prime Minister, he's the only one that can sign for it, then that tells me that RCL and the Prime Minister have negotiated land, and it's common knowledge and public knowledge that that land is in litigation. So, yes, I'd say they continue to negotiate it. And I say that any party that's a party to negotiating land that's in litigation is a complicit.
So there may be some complacency, right?
Complacency is one thing, but they're complicit. When I say cahoots, that they are in negotiations with each other. They're in the same, they have the same objective, which is for RCL to get Crown Land and for the government to give them Crown Land. They shouldn't be negotiating Crown Land that is before the courts.
Did they offer you an alternative?
RCL?
The government, RCL.
No,
has anyone come to you and say, listen, Toby, give us this 10 acres back.
Yeah.
We can give you 100 acres,
yeah,
a beach,
no,
on Devil's Point, Cat Island, because, yeah, that is the most beautiful beach in the entire Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Right.
It's 18 miles of just pure powder-like sand, white beach, with a hill overlooking it and a little church on the hill. You could name it Church Point, Cat Island,
right,
if you want to, and build a dock out there, and no one will bother you because it's going to be 100 miles away from everything. And we'll give you that if you give us this 10 acres you got here.
Right. So
has anything like that happened?
The only thing that's happened like that is Carl Bethel came to me on the 27th of February asking for a meeting, and I thought it was going to be like something like that. Mm-hmm. And he told me, listen, we're going to stuff you down here at the end of the beach, and maybe RCL customers will wander down to you. I told him it ain't about that. We've already got a Crown Land lease in play here that I've accepted. And that was a week before the government were planning on going to sign a heads of agreement for the sale of the Grand Lucayan Hotel back in 2020. Mm-hmm. So since then, no, Minnis has just completely ignored me. His government has basically completely ignored me. I wrote a letter to the Prime Minister asking him, please define, given the fact that you've offered me a Crown land lease for a certain parcel on Paradise Island, and RCL have now provided me with a site plan which runs completely over my boundaries for the same parcel of Crown land, I'd like to know what the Prime Minister's position is on it. And again, he ignores me. So no, they haven't come to me with any proposition. The only proposition is that Royal Caribbean wanted the president and CEO of RCL is Michael Bailey. He sent me a WhatsApp. Hey, long time no hear. Let's sit down and have a chat. So I met with their point person, Jay Schneider and Russell Benford, in person, and they asked me for a copy of my site plan so that they could put that into their 3D architectural model of what their plans are for over on PI. I gave them a copy of my site plan, and then during that conversation, they said, oh, by the way, just letting you know, we've received in the last couple of days a copy of a Crown land lease that we're just going to put in the drawer and do nothing about for right now. And then, you know, I gave them a copy of my site plan. They were supposed to see how they could scale back. And then the following week, they made it public to say that they've received a Crown land lease from the government and they're not prepared to scale back. So they must think I'm stupid.
Would you be willing to take a, if they said, you know what, Toby, we can't get you to go away. We'll give you a 10% sharehold. We'll allow you to be, I don't know, minority partner in the investment, and we can still kind of incorporate your docs if you want your docs. Just let it all go. Would you be prepared to accept that?
What they need to do first of all is honor my Crown land lease agreement, honor my parcels of land, and then we can build a solid negotiation on a solid foundation which defines who has what land. Then we can go from there. But until then it's war. It's game on.
So, all right, I hear my music. That means I'm going to a break. If you're just tuning in, I've got Toby Smith. He's from the Lighthouse Beach Club. That's at Paradise Island. Not to be mistaken with Lighthouse Point, which is in Eleuthera.
Right.
All right.
Fight.
It's Levin Miller. I'm Unleash. I'm on your radio. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Don't move. We'll be back.
Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
Guess what I did in school today?
Hold on, sweetie. Mommy's sending a text.
But Mommy, my teacher said that you're not supposed to text and drive.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, look, Mommy, the Smith twins. Mommy, watch out!
In 2017, approximately 54 people died as a result of traffic accidents. A percentage of these fatalities occurred as a result of texting while driving. Just taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds can increase your chance of crashing. Remember, even the smallest voice counts.
Brought to you by UB Radio and Guardian Radio 96.9.
COVID-19, do not panic. Be prepared. If you plan to travel, keep updated on travel advisories from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Be sure to wash your hands often and have travel-sized hand sanitizers and disinfecting wipes readily available. Keep your distance from persons who are coughing and sneezing. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. This can help protect you from COVID-19 infection and other respiratory diseases.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
Thank you. Welcome back. Thank you so much for staying with me. Levin Miller is here. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm Unleashed. I'm on your radio every day at 11, right? So I don't know what else you could possibly want to listen to. You should just put your radio here, kind of never move it again. And then that way you could just listen to me every day at 11. How does that sound? I like that idea. You should put me in charge of all the good ideas from this point on. Toby Smith is my guest. He's joining me this morning. We're talking about the Lighthouse Beach Club. You can call Toby and talk to him if you'd like. My number is 325-4259. Do I have more than one line? I still got one. I only got one line. So the number to that line is 325-4259. You can text me, 4224796. And, he's wide open. He seems to be prepared to talk about anything regarding the Lighthouse Beach Club. And I believe that it is things like these that build a greater democracy. Things like these build greater nationhood. Unless there are the Toby Smiths of the world, governments will do whatever they, you know, all of us will just have to kind of suck sour at the end and all be disgruntled and live very unhappy lives if no one ever pushes back. It's the same thing that happened in the civil rights movement, equal rights movement, woman empowerment movement, you know. And so, at times in histories of countries, in the history of countries, people have to push back, right? And I think what he's doing is commendable. He isn't even asking. Most times, you know, Toby, the one thing I think is different from your plight is most times people come and they're like you know, they do not have the wherewithal to contend the fight, like, because they're out there trying to get assistance, whether it's monetary or free legal, or no, you are here saying, listen, I'm prepared to go to court with them. I don't want anybody to help me. I don't want anybody. I'm prepared to take them to court because I believe what they're doing is wrong. I believe I'm right. And I just want to make sure that the public is aware that this is what they're doing over there. So, and I say this in jest, so if they kill me, at least you all know what was happening before I go on missing, right?
Yeah.
Just in jest. But, yeah. But.
And don't try that.
It is actually something that is commendable. I see we have a call on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Mr. Miller.
Hey, Robert.
And your guest.
Good morning, Mr. Robert.
Now, RCL bought from Atlanta straight down to your end?
No, sir. They bought basically, there's the where the yoga retreat is on the western side of Paradise Island. There's a residential lot just to the west of them, and I understand they purchased the private residential land west of that.
I know Nicholas Cage was for sale. So did they buy Cage House?
Yes, Nicolas Cage's house, Richard Harris's house, the whole way down, the Holds, the Holds dad, the Holds son.
They thought the eastern end was for the rich. The western end, that had the millionaires for 50 years lived in. Richard Harris lived there for 50 years. Quiet.
Right.
No cops. He go to
the residential, then it's game on. Let's write to town planning and say we want it to residential until it's the right fit for the benefit of all Bahamians, not just a royal bunch of people.
So, they invest a lot.
Them
houses dealt with millions.
And they can knock them down and put in pools and cabanas and have all their royal guests over, and Bahamians will be segregated.
So they spend money to make billions. They bought the houses to make millions. They make billions of
make
them
billions, and then they take that billions out of the country, and then they have us cleaning toilets and sweeping up the mess. That's right.
And if I know cruise lines, they have the best tax lawyers in the world. They don't pay taxes.
Well, so that's an interesting point you bring up, right? Bahamians got to pay business license. They got to pay VAT. They got to pay duty. They got to pay NIB. They've got to pay all of these things, right? And then when you go to look at the fine print of the deals that the government cuts with the cruise lines, they keep it behind closed doors and locked under lock and key, and they don't allow us to see the terms of the deal.
No.
That's why they're hiding the terms of the memorandum of, sorry, the agreement that they've done for the Grand Lucayan.
Okay, so Frank Lloyd House was sold.
Whose?
That was the pride and joy house. He has houses in New York and Hamptons. But do you know where he's buried?
Who?
Woodlawn. He loved the Bahamas. I'm surprised that they even saw that house.
Yeah. So. You know, there's a lot of history over there, my brother, and there's a lot of value over there, and it's being kept as residential because it's low impact and it's a little hideaway and private. So, but as you move towards the west, then that's where the crown land starts. And there's some crown land that has not been, that's not in contention. So RCL is trying to grab up most of the prime crown land over there. I'm saying, don't you mess with my parcels over there. But the remaining parcel, which is between my beach parcel and the private residential, is crown land, and we'll just call it parcel C. Well, my company has put in applications to the Department of Lands and Surveys for parcel C, and what I'd like to do with that is develop it with any existing license holders and have a syndicate of Bahamians that will be able to offer this crown land as beach for visiting guests, albeit arrival by air or arrival by cruise lines, and that syndicate will be Bahamian owned, and it would be that we offer it to all and sundry, not just for royal guests, but for RCL, Carnival, NCL, any other cruise line passengers that want to come over, Bahamians that want to come over, and it will be on terms that's good for the Bahamas and good for Bahamians.
The Prime Minister contended in Grand Bahama, Toby, that, you know, one of the things he's doing is trying to see if he can be, if he can empower Bahamians. He talked about his over-the-hill tax breaks that kind of then translated into job creation, which then translated into, I think he said, it's been like $153 million. And he kind of boasts very often of his desire to create wealth among Bahamians, to create employment among Bahamians, to bolster entrepreneurship. There are supporters of the Prime Minister that will say that has been his mantra. It has been, you know, it has been his Achilles. It has been the thing that he has built his entire reputation on as Prime Minister. He boasts of the fact that he is a Baintown boy. And, you know, the only thing he's ever done his entire life is work. When it wasn't selling newspaper, it was shining shoes. And when it wasn't shining shoes, it was pumping gas, albeit at his daddy's gas station. But he is somebody that understands the value of hard work. And he is not the proud to be, which is a man that is against Bahamian investment or against Bahamian entrepreneurship. What then do you think the issue could possibly be?
It's an own self agenda, and it's trying to land these massive anchor projects and completely ignoring the small boutique projects. It's complete, you know, it's locking up coconut vendors and giving them a litany of requirements of what they need in order to be able to operate business, rather than actually giving them solutions that are viable solutions. So he said, "Oh, I'm busy saving lives, dude. You're killing livelihoods.
Mm-hmm.
You're locking people up. You're causing people to their mental health." Is being negatively impacted by this.
Mm.
And he thinks the solution and, oh, you're icing on the cake, is going to be, I got to let you stay out for an hour later.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what solution is there when you've got 40% unemployment in the country, right? And the only announcements that you're coming out is a foreign investor investing more money so that they can service their ships more cheaply.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to service their ships somewhere,
mm-hmm.
right? Look at RCL. They want to spin it. Oh, we're going to home port in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
No, you want to get out from where the CDC is telling you you can't sail.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're saying, right? But they'll spin it differently. So,
even storms bring with them some benefits, right? So they're going to say, well, listen, yes, we have an interest. There is no such thing as an interest that doesn't serve self. So yes, we have self-serving interests.
Great.
But our
okay.
self-serving interests benefit the Bahamian people as
okay,
well.
So let's look at that, right? But mm-hmm. why can't, so that where there's benefits. So, okay, taxi drivers, yeah, man, they've been pussing. They've been scrapping. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? They haven't had fares for a long time. They're sitting outside of a hotel waiting all day for a fare. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, I embrace that. I get that. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's great that Bahamian workers are receiving revenues again. Mm-hmm. However, why can't it be for owners? Why can't it be that you don't need work permits and you're throwing out all these numbers where you don't actually give a breakdown of those numbers, but we know that the majority of that revenue is going out of the country.
Mm.
Whereas, so yes, there are some benefits towards what they're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But why can't it be that if it's, you know, Bahamians benefit from 2% of the revenues, why is it that we can't benefit by at least 50% of those revenues? If they want crown land, that they go in with a joint venture with a Bahamian for that crown land.
Mm-hmm.
And that joint venture is that the Bahamian owns 51% of that joint venture. So if RCL or any other company is trying to pull a fast one on them, they could say, no, carry your hip, and we're going to have somebody else that is willing to agree upon those terms.
Mm.
But this government is just looking at push it down your throat tactics and accept it or get out of the way.
Let's take another call. Come on and call you on. Hey, what's up?
I ain't good. Mr. Smith.
Yes, sir.
Just now, you just answered something that I was about to ask you. Suppose they would have come along and said to you, hand in glove, let's go together, and we do this thing right. You said that you would get 51% and they get the 49%.
I'm not saying that that is the case. I'm just giving that as an example.
Yes, but what
is this, Sparky?
No, it's not.
No, this is Sparky.
Sorry, pardon me.
This is a fellow from the inner city. Over
okay.
The
all right, my brother.
That is all that's agitating for you and me.
Thank you.
Okay. You know, in this country,
I think we lost you, Carly. You still up? Give us a call back, 325-4259. Let me get a couple of these text messages out of the way. This one here says, good morning, Mr. Bain. I don't know why you're calling me Mr. Bain. Toby, which they got right.
Thank you.
I am with you, Toby, and praying that you get justice in this banana republic.
Thank you very
there
much.
There is power in unity, Bahamians. Let's fight with each other and for each other.
I agree 100%
with that.
Thank you.
As well. Good morning, Mr. Miller. I for Toby. I for Bahamians. It's about time we start investing in our very own Bahamian entrepreneur. I stand with Toby. If we don't stand and fight for our Bahama land, we don't deserve to have it.
Agreed. 100%. We got to fight. But Levan, why do we have to fight? Why is it?
I don't have a problem fighting. I just do not wish to fight my own government.
Right?
Yeah. Listen, if the government of Haiti decided that they wanted to take some ground land with a sword, I would fight them with a sword.
Yeah.
If the government of the United States of America decided they wanted to take some land,
yeah,
they would kill me, sure. I would be on the beach fighting them, conch shell in the left hand,
right.
Sword in the right
sword.
Hand.
Oh, okay. Right.
And letting them know
I like your style.
That I'm from Angleston. So
right.
However you want to do it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Whether you want to, you know, be decent about it,
yeah,
or indecent,
right?
Don't let my decency make you believe that I don't have indecency inside of me.
Agreed.
All right.
So you brought up a very interesting point, right? So in Haiti,
mm-hmm.
there was Papa Doc,
mm-hmm.
and there was Baby Doc,
mm-hmm.
and Baby Doc agreed with Royal Caribbean to give them the crown land that is now called Labadee,
mm-hmm.
where Haitians just can't go. There's a big fence. Haitians
mm-hmm.
can only go there to sell their crafts,
mm-hmm.
right? And now here it is, RCL is in the Bahamas trying to negotiate crown land with another doc.
Mm.
Right? So you got Papa Doc, you got Baby Doc, and now you got Baby Delivery Doc? I mean, Rockwood Doc? A whole Crockwood Doc?
I don't know. Another text right here. Yeah, the point I'm making, though, is I will fight with anyone for the Bahamas.
Yeah, man,
I
me
don't
too.
Think
I'm
that,
down
we,
with
I,
that.
I don't think fight, though, is the government of the Commonwealth.
We shouldn't have to. They say, oh, we represent the people. But as soon as they get in, our agenda becomes their agenda, and they pull a switch on us. And I disagree with that. So, yes, I appreciate Bahamians standing with me. Today it's me. Tomorrow maybe it's you. Mm. And I believe in right and wrong. And if I think that your cause is right, I could stand up with you right there, would you?
Agreed. This here says, Toby is making a mistake by trying to piss off the Prime Minister.
No, it's the Prime Minister that offered me a lease, and then he's duplicitous in offering somebody else a lease for the same land. So it's not that I'm trying to piss off
They're
the Prime Minister.
Maybe you should try your approach from a different angle. Well, the man said
I tried pleasant,
he's,
polite,
yeah.
writing letters, going, having a camp out at House of Assembly, camping out at Cabinet. I've tried everything nice, and they don't know nice, apparently.
Yeah.
So if you're a foreigner, then nice works, and they take them out to Grey Cliff and take them out to Old Fort and all these places and smooth them. No, I shouldn't have to do that as a Bahamian.
Yeah. This says, way to go, Toby. Stand up for your rights.
Thank you.
I wish more Bahamians took a stand like you.
Thank you.
I had one more. I don't see where it went. So okay. In the end of it all, Toby, what exactly do you hope happens?
I hope that my Crown Land lease agreement is honored and I could start hiring people today to get over there and we start this development, which will be a good, sustainable, historical, cultural village that will be offered to our visiting tourists, and it will produce jobs and revenues. It will look after the lighthouse. It will hopefully be a case where this method of restoring the lighthouse will be used for other lighthouses in the Bahamas. We have a dozen of them. There's the Hopetown Lighthouse, which is used on our money. It's used in commercial government. And yet, what do the government do to help out the Hopetown Lighthouse except exploit them for their image?
Mm. And I imagine that as a businessman, you've already calculated worst case scenario. What exactly is the worst case scenario plan?
Worst case scenario plan?
Yeah. Like if that wonderful plan in your head isn't the plan that happens.
Yeah.
You go to a court. I don't know. The court does a 5-year. I don't know. The court is a creature that you cannot predict, right?
Sure.
So the court does something that you didn't see happen.
Yeah.
Carl, well, sure, I lost the case battle.
Yeah.
Pulled something out of his hat that somehow by maybe...
If he could find his hat.
Maybe cosmosis, right?
Yeah.
It kind of precipitated upon him and wasn't really his doing. It just kind of happened.
Yeah.
They say to you, Toby, no, you've got 30 days to back up and leave. Uh-huh. What exactly is your worst case scenario plan?
I ain't even looking at that scenario, man. God is on my side, and I talk to God on the regular, and I'm holding strong, and I don't look at a scenario like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna be victorious in this. It's gonna come about. The government could look silly in blocking a Bahamian from being able to thrive, and that's on them.
Mm. Well, Toby, all I can tell you, my friend, is there are many of us that are in the fight with you, whether you see us there or not.
And I appreciate every single one of you. So many people call me, send me texts, send me emails, put it on Facebook. It's Paradise Hog Island Lighthouse and Beach Club on Facebook, Paradise Island Lighthouse on the internet. I'm reachable. I really appreciate the support from the bottom of my heart. I'm humbled. I'm humbled, and I'm standing the fight for all Bahamians, and we're going to be victorious in this.
Appreciate you very much for coming. You've been listening to Toby Smith, Lighthouse Beach Club. Toby said, listen, we can keep this gangster, or we could be cordial. We'll see what happens at the end of the day, though. I'm Levin Miller. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's your station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move. The news, it's next. Justice for all, just ain't specific enough. One son died.